As God, Lord, this morning our desire is to have a heart, Lord, broken for the things that break your heart, God. Your desires would be our desires. We know, God, that you desire that none should perish, but that everyone, God, should come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's for this reason and this reason alone that you send Jesus. And we can know that your heart is open. You came to seek and save the lost. Touch our hearts, Lord, with your passion for the lost, God. For what moved you to leave heaven and come to earth. I'm going to ask us to just turn to one another. Maybe two or three or four maximum. And this evening we have the wonderful opportunity to have Brother Stephen Lunga here, evangelist who ministered at the men's camp. Just an incredible testimony of what the Lord has done in his life, how the Lord has changed him from being a terrorist who's blowing up things and killing people to someone who's seeking and serving the Lord with all of his heart. And we desire that tonight the Lord will come and save, that tonight God will come and deposit something into our hearts as well. So I would like us just to take two or three minutes and pray for tonight's service, and that the Lord will... We didn't plan for him to come. It was unexpected, just came about on Friday. So we're very blessed to have him. But the Lord will show us even within the next 2 hours or so whom to invite to come to this evening service, because there are people who need to hear what the Lord has placed on his heart. So let's turn to one another and let us pray for tonight. And let's pray specifically for the lost. Just beyond tonight, let's pray for people who don't know Christ in our families, in our town. Because that is what's on God's agenda. I'm going to lead us in the prayer, and then we just continue praying. Father, we come and we pray, Lord, for what is in your heart this morning in Jesus' name. Show us faces, Lord. Show us names. As we pray, Lord, that this evening service will be used mightily by you, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, to bring in the harvest. To bring in the fish, Lord. We're casting our nets out again tonight, God. And we trust you, Lord, for a great catch. In Jesus' name, we pray for our town, God. Filled with so many people who don't know you. Let us pray. Let's pray for our town. Pray for people you know.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we thank you that you say in your word, Lord, where two or more agree on anything shall be done. And we thank you, Lord, that today will be to the glory of your name, this morning, this evening, that you will be highly exalted, God, in our midst. And as we lift you up, Jesus, we know that you yourself, you draw all men unto you. Thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts and stirring our hearts for what you are doing, God. We are so thankful for your Holy Spirit. We are so thankful that you are God in our midst. You are God in our midst. The mighty one, able to save to the uttermost, the mighty one able to heal, to set free, to bring joy, to restore hope. Thank you. Jesus, we are so, so honored by your presence this morning. We are so honored by your blood that has given us access into such peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, band. Appreciate you guys. Thank you, sound team. Appreciate you as well. And set up guys, media and hospitality and the decor people and everyone packing the chairs. And thank you so much for everything that you guys are doing to help us out in the service. We can't do it without you. I'm just wondering, is there anyone maybe with a testimony just of what the Lord has done in this week? Maybe something you would like to give the Lord thanks for. Yes. Yeah. Use the mic, then everyone can hear you.
Yeah, ek wil maar net sê, die wêreld is groot. Die land is uitgestrek. Maar ek het net, ek dink mense noem dit 'n doek, 'n veil. wat die op hierdie plek specifiek afkom, soos een net oor een bed. Het is so erg dat ek het op my voorkop en op my lyf kan voel. Ek dink die Here is, ons weet hy is hier, maar ons, julle is baie geseën volgend. Ek weet nie of het iets beteken.
Baie dankie. So in die teenwoordigheid van die Here is ons maar net besig met mooi praatjies. And that's what we want to do. So thank you for that confirmation. Really appreciate it. Debbie?
Good morning, everyone. Theo asked me to give the testimony of a miracle that happened this weekend, or this past week. And as Paul said, our family is really in God's favor because we've recently seen the miracle of Gavin's knees that were healed when the doctors told him he'd never run again, and he's now running and climbing mountains. And so God is really just so awesome and so mighty. And this morning what happened with Dania and Olivia has really touched me because I've been through the same situation, very similar situation. In about December, my mom started feeling really nauseous. And she struggled to eat. And although she was carrying on eating, it just got worse and worse. And then until the beginning of February, we realized she was now losing too much weight, and it was just getting harder and harder, and she was getting weaker and weaker, and she's a diabetic. And in the end, she was just living on water with an OXO cube, or she was using that powder that you put in the two-minute noodles, because that's all she could stomach. And so eventually, she went to her GP, who did a lot of funny tests and things, and so I took her to my doctor, who immediately sent her for gastroscopy. We got her admitted and realized she'd lost 18 kilos in 2 months. And we got her admitted and they did the gastroscopy. They said it was severe gastritis. She was just pure acid throughout her body. And he had her in hospital for a day and a half, put her on all the antibiotics, discharged her, came home to my house. 2 days later, readmitted, she started vomiting, it just got worse and worse, readmitted her, she was back in hospital for 5-6 days, called in a physician, they thought it was the glucophage that she was on for her diabetes that was causing all this problem, took her off all the medication, but at the same time, my mom's got a stoma, she's had a bag for 18 years now for colon cancer. And it had formed a massive hernia, so they thought, because the nausea wasn't getting any better. She was on 4 different nausea medications, IV stuff, nothing helped. She couldn't eat, got to the stage, she could hardly even drink. She couldn't even stomach water. She didn't vomit, but she just couldn't get it down her throat. And I went, I think it was the Thursday, I can't remember the days. I went in the morning, and I was really worried, and I anointed her with oil, and I prayed with her. And I came back to visit her the afternoon, and I saw a big difference, and she started trying to eat. So they discharged her the next day, and they said they're going to do the hernia repair because maybe that's also causing the nausea. So she was back in hospital the Wednesday, did the hernia repair. He was confident that within 2 days she'd be back home again. ICU that night, next morning, supposed to go out of ICU. God is just amazing. He just goes ahead of us with everything. They couldn't find a bed for her in the ward. So, thank goodness, because then she went backwards again. Her lungs, she just couldn't breathe. She was on oxygen, on nebulizers. Her heart went all out of rhythm, back on all the monitors. She landed in ICU for 5 days, couldn't eat, couldn't drink, was just getting weaker and weaker. They couldn't put on a drip or anything because it would go into her lungs and the fluid in her lungs. Then eventually they discharged her from ICU into the ward, and I just watched her dying. I literally watched her dying for the last week. She just got weaker and weaker, and she was just lying in the bed. And my mother's a believer. She knows the Lord and she loves him very much, but she just said, I think it's time. I think I'm going home to see my Jesus. And I said, no, your work's not done yet. You can't. And by Wednesday night, I was frantic. I didn't know what to do. But through this whole thing, God has just been amazing. As stressful as it is, as hard as it has been, I've just felt God's presence so strongly around me. I've just felt his arms around me like I can't explain. It's supernatural. He's just been there. He's just been amazing. And the one verse that's kept me going is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because it's really been hectic. We've been working and it's really been hard, but God has just strengthened us. And then the other passage that I want to read to you now is Psalm 146, which was the turning point for me. God just kept reminding me of this passage. And on Wednesday, we had cell group and we prayed. And I just remembered this, which I'm going to read to you now, where Psalm 146 says, "Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God." And God reminded me of this again and again. And on Wednesday, I was going to phone the nephrologist that works with our dialysis unit, because I thought, okay, maybe he will know. You know, he's very good at diagnosing things. I was going to, and then I thought, no, I'm putting my trust in God, not in men. And I phoned Theo, and I said, "Please, Theo, you need to come and pray with my mom tomorrow." And he did, and he brought Paul with him. And the whole atmosphere in the ward had been, for the last few days, had been dark and gloomy. And just there was just this oppression. We could feel it all the time. And on Thursday morning, they came and prayed. And immediately, we could feel a difference. Theo, as he prayed, he just said he saw the darkness leave. He could see the darkness leave. God gave Paul a word. He said to my mom, he's never met my mother. He doesn't know my mother at all. And she was lying there so fragile, so weak, she could hardly speak. And he said, do you play bowls? So she says, "I played bowls like 30 years ago. She used to play bowls." And she was like, "Wow, where did that come from?" And he said, "I see you playing bowls." And God just blessed us so much. It was just so strong. And then, because she'd been complaining here, it was obviously so tender and so painful. And so we laid hands on her. And I actually felt the Holy Spirit. I just felt the shake come through my arm. I felt the heat go down my hand and into my mom. And the next thing, she started sitting up a little bit with her bed. And she said, she kept going like this. I said, "What is it sore?" She says, "It's gone. It's gone. The pain is gone." She said, "I think I'm going to have a cream cracker." And so we got a cream cracker. She hadn't drank any tea or anything in 3 weeks. She said, "I think I'd like a cup of tea." And I got her half a cup of tea, and she nibbled on her cream cracker. Then she sent me down to the canteen. I've got a picture of her an hour after Theo and Paul left. You can't believe the difference. I ran and I got her a scone. She had a quarter. We had a party. We had a bit of scone. We had some fruit. She was just nibbling, nibbling, nibbling. She was discharged yesterday morning. She's at my house now. She's incredibly, incredibly weak. She's like a little old lady. She shuffles. And she can only, this morning for breakfast, she had her little 4 sips of tea and a quarter little piece of rusk. That's all she can stomach. So she's got to learn to eat again. But God is amazing. And she just said to me, the last thing I just want to share is, my mom goes to a very traditional church, although she loves the Lord, but she thinks we are a little bit out there. She's not used to it. So this was a big eye-opener for her. I said, this is what God does. This is who God is. He gives us knowledge. He gives us these things. And when I went back that evening after leaving her to sleep a bit, she said, "Debbie, the whole day, every time I feel like the nausea wants to come back, I know it's not there, and I just say, 'I rebuke you in the name of Jesus,' and it goes away." So I just want to praise God, and I want to thank God, and I just want to send my prayers to Donnie and Olivia, because we serve a mighty God.
Hallelujah. The Lord is amazing. And God is so faithful. I just want to ask, okay, I can't preach these chairs. Sal julle asseblief kom nader sit. Asseblief. Thank you so much. It's lekker om julle nader te hê. This morning is special for many, many different reasons. And I think the most important one for me is just the fact that the Holy Spirit is with us. And you know it when He is. And I cannot tell you how much the presence of the Holy Spirit and the reality of God in our midst has just become the defining desire of my heart in everything that we do. And I'm so thankful for Him that He's with us. And that He doesn't leave us to try and to try things, to make things happen. He comes and he works in us because of what Jesus has done through his blood. So I'm overawed. It is such a privilege for me to share the word of God more than ever. And don't feel sorry for me when I cry, okay? It's not because I'm feeling bad. It's just I am just so just in awe of the Lord and that he uses us and that he's so good to us. And this morning, this week, the Holy Spirit told me we've been going through some challenging times in our extended family since December. Just some, you know, how extended families can be, just some complications there that really just drove us up the wall. We tried everything and it wasn't working. And the Lord just told me on Tuesday, be still and see my salvation. Be still. And that is what he's been laying on my heart the whole week. Just be still. And basically just said, let me do the talking. Let me do the healing. And so this morning, through the worship, it came through as well, just for us to be still. Intercession, the word came as well, for us just to be still. So what I'm wanting to do this morning is something the Lord has laid on my heart, and maybe it's going to be a little bit strange to you, but I want you just to relax and just to sit back and just to listen to the word. We've been talking to one another about Paul's letter to the Philippians that he wrote about 60 AD, about 30 years after Jesus ascended. And it's a letter that he wrote from prison. It wasn't his final letter from prison. He was released again after that. But he writes this letter to this group of friends of his in Philippi. And I just felt in my heart that the Lord is wanting to speak to us as he spoke to the Philippians. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to read Philippians to us. Okay. And I trust the Holy Spirit that as I read Philippians, he will minister to your heart. And he will pinpoint something on your heart that he's wanting to say to you. And that he's wanting to draw you to himself through the word. So just sit back. Relax. If you have a Bible, you can turn with me in your Bible to Philippians. Or you can follow. We don't have it on the screen. It's going to be too much. Otherwise, you can just sit back and close your eyes if you want to. And I'm going to read it for you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the glorious truth that your word is life. It's not just letters on a page. It is life. And as we have heard this morning through Debbie's testimony, Holy Spirit, you are alive. And you come and breathe upon us and you bring life. So I thank you this morning that you will touch our hearts, you will touch our minds, you will touch our relationships, Lord, through your word. And Jesus, we give you preeminence this morning. And I pray that it will be your voice that remains long after my voice has grown silent. In Jesus' name. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making a request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing that he who started a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ through the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things that have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my sorrows. but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and here now is in me. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and if any mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other higher than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation, amongst whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run or labored in vain. Yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and I rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served in the gospel with me. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I know how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, but your messenger, who ministered to my need. since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death, but God had mercy upon him, and not only on him, but also upon me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him all the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, as I rejoice and will be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but it is safe for you. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal also this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they have become the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord, and I urge you also, true companion, help this woman who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard of need, for I've learned in whatever state I am in to be content. I know how to be abased, And I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distresses. Now you Philippians, you know that also at the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving except you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid to me once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abound to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus, the brethren who are with me, they greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, God, that thousands of years later, your word still speaks to our hearts. And this morning, God, you have come to speak to some of us, Father, to again come to that place where we can surrender our hearts, where we can bow our knees to the name that is above every other name. To come to that place, Lord, where we acknowledge you as Lord, as the one who has full claim to our lives. We can let go of the steering wheel, we can get off the throne and bow our knee before you. Confess you, Jesus, as Lord of my life. Thank you, God, that for some of us you have come to speak to us, Lord, and to invite us into partnership, the furtherance of your gospel, to not just sit and spectate, God, and to allow fear to hold us back, but to enter into the partnership that you have given us to be laborers in this harvest. Thank you for some of us, God, you have spoken and you have invited us just to come and again let go of the burdens and the cares that we carry, the anxiety that we carry, and to surrender that to you in prayer. To come back to our lifeline. To trust you that you are able to supply in all of our needs. God, and thank you for some of us, you have moved upon our hearts, Lord, that in our marriages, we have been looking to our own interests. And you are inviting us to live a life of freedom where we don't look to our own interests only, but we look to the interests of those around us, as a family and as a couple. And for some of us, God, you have spoken to our hearts and encouraged us to this morning to come and esteem the people around us in church or at work higher than ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for so much more that you've done in our hearts. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you will have your way with us. We're going to listen to a song. It's an old song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, and it speaks about being still. And as the song plays, I want to encourage you to act upon whatever it is that the Lord has dropped in your heart. I believe the Lord is wanting to invite us to a place of surrender, for us to surrender our hearts and our lives in a very tangible way to the Word of God. Say, God, here I am. And I bow before your Word. And I surrender this part of my life to what you have spoken into my heart. So if there's an area, if there's something the Lord has spoken to you, but I want to encourage you to move from where you are sitting, come and stand at the front, or come and kneel. And just to surrender to the power of the Word of God, not to a man, not to a system, but to the power of the Word and the Spirit of God. Let's allow the song to minister to us, and as we listen, respond as the Holy Spirit would lead you.
Thank you. still and know that He is holy. Be still, O restless soul of mine. Bow before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is faithful. Consider all that He has done. Stand in awe and be amazed. And know that He will never change.
I just have this picture of just Jesus standing with His hand stretched out towards us. And Paul says that even as we need to lay our lives down and consider others higher than ourselves, consider the things of Christ, that we do so because we have Him as an example. We have Him as our standard. And I believe God this morning, just through Jesus, is wanting to just extend an invitation for us to again follow Him. Different areas of our lives will mean different things, but many of us have distractions. We have things that are just distracting us from Him. We can't even see Him. In the areas where we need wisdom or we need breakthrough, and He's standing with His hand extended towards us with a smile on His face, inviting us to take His hand and He will lead us. So He's inviting us to a place where we will hear His voice clearly. But He's inviting us to do things His way, to have us as a church and as individuals and as couples and as families, and whatever state we're in, to have us defined by Him, by His call, by His standard, by His love, by His grace, by His holiness. There's some of us looking around to people, and I just believe the Lord is saying that He's so excited about your life so much more that he has for you. And he would take hold of his hand and follow him. So God, I just come, Lord, and as part of the leadership of this church, Lord, we just say, Lord, that we again just surrender this congregation to you, Jesus, to live according to your ways. So the early believers were known as people of the way, people who followed Christ. We want to follow you, Jesus, in what you hold before us. And we owe you everything, God. We forget those things that are behind. The shame, the condemnation, the mistakes. We count them, even the things that we value, we count them as rubbish. We reach forward, Lord, to take hold of your hand. I would like you just symbolically just to raise your hand to Jesus. Just raise one hand and just say, Jesus, take my hand. Jesus, thank you that you said that as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. And I believe the Lord will show us practically the next step. There's a practical wisdom that God is bringing to each one of our lives, that there's one next step you need to take. And Jesus is not the author of confusion. He will show you in your marriage, in your business, when you're going to school, in your sexuality, in your finances. He will show you as you look to him and not to those things, not even to the breakthrough, but you look to him. So God, we come and we surrender our lives to you again. We follow you, Christ. We thank you that you have come for us in Jesus' name. Right now, God, I just pray and speak the peace of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit upon each one of us here, God, as we go into this week, into this day, into, Lord, just following you, that your word will burn inside our hearts as a reality of who you are. Thank you for your grace that empowers us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the peace of God our Father be upon all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. The band is going to sing one more song for us, but we're officially dismissing the service. Just listen to what he's saying in your heart. Write it down. If something precious the Lord just wants to drop in your heart. If you just want to come and you still need prayer, we'd love to pray with you. But let's stand and let us declare this.